Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 of Chicago, without a live studio audience. The live studio audience had a Beis Yaakov High School Chicago play tonight, and they're at the post-game party. Yes, the Orthodox Jewish Girls School has an amazing, amazing play, and all ladies, all lady audience, all lady performers, we can have that discussion later. And I, as a father of seven girls and one boy, am a firm proponent of it. But don't worry, they get to sing for me at home. And I hear selected recordings. It is absolutely incredible. And if anyone wants to see a vibrant pack of healthy, well-adjusted, confident young women, I would love for all of you to meet the students of Beis Yaakov High School, Chicago. Absolutely incredible. We have twin girls who are in high school, and both of them were in the play and had very important roles. But, you know, sorry, my throat. We're very, very proud of Miri and Rena for their excellence and always, especially being such amazing children. So that might be a good discussion for a different time of raising children and the benefits of a Torah lifestyle for raising children. And maybe we will do that at some point, but you can trust me in the meantime. Now, what was fascinating was the play was J'accuse, which is about Dreyfus, the Dreyfus Affair. And the Dreyfus Affair, and my wife came back and we've been, you know, hearing about the script, and it's literally today. It's literally today. Dreyfus was the October 7th, or what I would say the equivalent to the response in America to October the 7th. It was in the late 1800s in France, which was the lead of the emancipation of the Jews into enlightened society and the Enlightenment, etc. And the Jews were going to be fully accepted into the society. There was only one problem. When there needed to be a scapegoat, when France lost the war against Germany in a very bad way, they knew there was a spy. So who could they blame? They blamed a captain named Alfred Dreyfus. Now, this actually, many people saw right through it. This was trumped up charges. He was a very loyal and dedicated person. There was no way that he would be able, he would do this. And the play is about this. Now, what happened was that this literally divided France into two camps. Les Dreyfusards, les anti-Dreyfusards, those who were pro-Dreyfus and those that were anti-Dreyfus. And came to the trial in which Dreyfus was denigrated and sent to Devil's Island on these trumped up charges was a young journalist named Theodore Herzl, who is probably about as assimilated as you possibly could be. In fact, Theodore Herzl had two daughters and a son, and he did not give his son a bris milah. Now, the most secular assimilated Jews in the Chicagoland area still give their children a bris. And this was in the late 1800s. So it's actually hard to fathom how assimilated he was. But nevertheless, he saw that the incredible rabid anti-Semitism in the most enlightened country on planet Earth, France. And he came to a conclusion that if that was the case, then the Jews would never be safe anywhere around the world unless they would have their own homeland. And thus was born political Zionism from the Dreyfus Affair. And Herzl's thesis was that once the Jewish people get their own homeland, the non-Jews will leave us alone and we will solve anti-Semitism. Well, there did become a state of Israel, but boy, oh boy, was Herzl wrong about that solving the anti-Semitism issue. And so the striking parallels of the anti-Semitism that crops up in the most assimilated Jewish country strikes again, as we, after October 7th, not only received zero sympathy from, or very little sympathy from, the non-Jewish world, but oftentimes were ostracized for being Jewish. So that is the wrap-up of the Beis Yaakov High School play and the relevance of what is going on. We are Jews, folks. You can't change it. They're not going to like us most of the time, but that's okay because we have to do us. And speaking of doing us, I want, before we get to the main topic of tonight, I want to let everyone know that on February 26th and 27th, Project 613 has our major fundraiser of the year. The battle of and against assimilation, the battle to show the young Jewish people in Chicago and beyond the beauty, the importance of being Jewish. And this podcast is just one of the ways in which we do it. So if this podcast at any moment has moved you, has touched you, I would love to invite you not only to donate, and that's great, but if you'd like to get your own link to send to a few friends and to say, you know what? There's a group of people in Chicago called Project 613 that is saving so many Jewish lives, that is directing them and guiding them towards increased Jewish involvement, dating Jews, marrying Jews, learning Torah, keeping more of Shabbos, living authentic, rich Jewish lives. If you, anyone out there, can help our growing volunteer team committee in any way, if it's 5 minutes, if it's 50 minutes, or anything in between, it would mean so much to me. So please reach out to me, rabbishalomg@gmail.com, or 310-903-7398. We really appreciate what all of your help. And so now, we are in the mode of the day after. I hope people, the podcast is doing very well, by the way, getting great numbers. I'm always nervous to do one theme too many times in a row, but it's not the same theme. It's really the same happenings, the same events that are happening, but different lessons that come out from them. And again, I keep saying that we have to keep tracking what's going on in Israel with these hostage releases. You're seeing Jewish greatness. You are seeing Jewish greatness right in front of us. It's so inspiring. You want to be motivated. Okay, so let's talk about it. There's so many examples, but I want to focus in on one example in particular. And this is the story of Sasha Trufanov. So let us talk about Sasha Trufanov. Sasha Trufanov is a Russian Israeli, and his incredible mother, Yelena, they were on kibbutz, I believe, near Oz, and were kidnapped on October 7th, 2023. Sasha was shot a couple of times, and his mother, his girlfriend, others were kidnapped, and the mother, Yelena, and his girlfriend were released earlier in the one of the earlier releases, like 50 or 60 days from the actual event. But their son and boyfriend, Sasha, was still in Gaza. The girlfriend's name is Sapir Cohen and has been a real force of good throughout this entire process. And the reunification videos are just, you just can't imagine it. So what does Sasha do the day after? And that is the name of the podcast, The Day After. What do you do when your life is holding by the thread for close to 500 days, held by pure evil people, and you can get out and start your life again? What would you do? How would you start your life again? What would be the day after? What would be the day after? What would you do? What would you say? Who would you call? What activities would you engage in? And I want to share with you what Sasha Trufanov did. For the first time in his life, he put on tefillin. He put on tefillin. Sasha Trufanov had never, I think he's late 20s, never ever put on tefillin before. Classic secular Russian Israeli. I am Israeli. I do not know why people think I'm Russian, but Okay, anyway, so he's a Russian Israeli, very little Jewish education. And the day after he gets out from Hamas captivity, he puts on tefillin. And I want to tell you what's even more inspiring, or also equally inspiring, is his mother Yelena. Since she said that when she was in captivity, and especially when she got out of captivity, she is now Shomer Shabbos. She keeps Shabbos. She has increased her faith. There's an amazing clip of her with a very famous rabbi, Rabbi Zilberstein, who they did prayers, literally a very special group of Tehillim, of Psalms, called the Tikkun HaKlali. It's a Breslov or type of Hasidim. The Reb Nachum from Breslov, their original leader, organized a certain set of prayers to be Psalms to be said in a certain way. And she said when they finished saying that group of prayers, that's when she got the call from the IDF. Literally, when she finished saying the prayers, that's when she got the call from the IDF that her son was going to be released. In addition, she keeps Shabbos now. In addition, she asked everyone before Shabbos, you know, these evil Hamas people, they're trying to rub our noses in this, and they're doing the release ceremonies on our holy day. You know, they're not doing it on Friday, which is their quote-unquote Sabbath, even though they don't have the same restrictions we do. But they're doing this on purpose to cause us to desecrate our Shabbos. She flew to the location early so that she would minimize the amount of Shabbos that she would have to desecrate. And this has been an unbelievable response to tragedy, an unbelievable response to 500 days of captivity and waiting for your loved ones to get out of captivity. Life and death situations literally every day. And could you fault anyone for coming out of that situation bitter and angry at God, quote unquote? And yet, just the opposite. They heard the call. They heard the call. And this is a modern day Passover story. You know, one of the reasons the actual mitzvah of tefillin was given, it was given right at the time that we were leaving Egypt. Why? Because those tefillin that we wear daily, except for Shabbos and Jewish holidays, are the remembrance devices that we use to remind us that Hashem took us out of Egypt, that He put us in Egypt for a specific purpose, to be the fiery furnace, to strengthen us, to, as what happens with metal when you bring it to a very high level, the dross, the impurities all float away and you're left with solid, pure metal. That was the experience of Egypt. And then God said, you have refined yourselves, you've elevated yourselves through the hardship. And then I'm going to take you out and give you the commandment of tefillin. Those black boxes, right? The mysterious black boxes. What's in there? What's in there is the connection to Hashem, to the Almighty, and a remembrance that I'm the one who took you out of Egypt, and I'm the one who bailed you out of jail and no one else, and therefore we have an ongoing relationship forever, forever. And what more appropriate response from Sasha that he literally, the first time ever, right after he's released from Hamas prison, from a place very near, literally, Egypt, he puts on tefillin. Folks, that's inspiring. That is inspiring. A few weeks ago, we had a Torah portion called Bishalach. And Bishalach is, it says, Vahi Bishalach Paros Am. It says, and it was that when Pharaoh sent out the Jewish people, and it's like, what? The commentators all jump up and down. What in the world? Pharaoh sent out the Jewish people? What are you talking about? And there still was this perception that somehow it was Pharaoh who sent us out and not that Hashem had taken us out. Now, how could that be? We had all these plagues, we had all these things, and yet still the human being is capable of not being able to leave our pre-programmed ideas and to extricate ourselves from that and to be able to say that it was Hashem who did it all. Now, there was another hostage who was released. And I'm not going to say when, and I'm not going to say who. But he said exactly what the Torah says. He made a whole dramatic speech. And he said, President Trump, you are the only one who could take us out of Hamas's captivity. Keep going. I want to thank you, and I want you to know that you are the only one who can do this. Now, he's close to being sort of okay, but he missed the whole point. He was in 400 and something days of captivity, and he didn't get it. Now, maybe he was just flattering Trump so that Trump would continue on, but if he wanted to be accurate, he should have said, I first and foremost want to thank God for watching over the Jewish people and getting us out. I want to thank the Jewish people for all of their prayers and all of their good deeds that they've been doing nonstop for 500 days to get us out. I want to thank everyone for their prayers and their mitzvot that they're doing. And of course, I would like to thank President Trump, who has been such a strong leader. And I would like to encourage him and ask him to continue to show the strong leadership, blah, 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 blah. That's what he should have said. Of course you thank Trump. Of course you thank the politicians. Of course that. But he's not the one taking us out. Pharaoh's not taking us out. Trump's not taking us out. And believe me, I'm very, very happy that Trump is positioned towards Israel. Okay, sorry, folks. It's pro-Israel. And it's unabashedly pro-Israel. And the Israelis don't even know what to do with themselves. He's so pro-Israel. The Israelis are like, oh, slow down a little bit, President, you know. But nevertheless, the point is, who takes us out of Egypt? Who takes us out of Gaza? It's the Almighty. And Sasha and Yelena, they nailed it. And now there are reports of other hostages who fasted on Yom Kippur, who were keeping Shabbos. They were singing every Friday. They would sing Kabbalat Shabbat. They would sing the prayers of greeting the Shabbos. Folks, this is unbelievable. Do you see the greatness of a Jew? You have to get up and dance. If you're in your car, start swaying your shoulders back and forth. If you're on the treadmill, like, put an extra speed in your step. These are Jews who faced evil in the face, and instead of fleeing from their Judaism, they doubled down. Instead of blaming Hashem, they said, Hashem, I know this is a call, this is a tap on the shoulder, and I'm not going to blow it. I'm going to listen. I'm going to hear the call. And so the day after, I'm yours, Hashem. I'm yours. If they can do it, we can do it as well. God bless. Have an amazing week, and we look forward to everyone stepping up in the ways of these holy hostages who have been released. God bless. We'll see you again, God willing, next week right here for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.